The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
I'm not going to take a lot of time with the extra stuff, because I told myself as I was preparing this message, I said, I am going to get through this. I am going to get through this whole message. And so I do want to tell you, as we were worshiping, you know, it's funny when you say doing worship, because sometimes you do an act. Other times you do an act because it's a part of your duty. Other times you do something because it's in your heart. And I like to say as we were worshiping, not doing worship. But as we were worshiping, God showed me an image. And sometimes maybe God doesn't talk to you this way, but he talks to me this way, and it's hilarious. I mean, it's like he's Comedy Central, maybe because that's how I receive. But if you ever watched Star Trek, or I'm sorry, oh, I got that wrong, Star Wars. If you ever watched Star Wars, there's a situation where Luke meets Yoda. And Yoda, Jedi Master, is going through Luke's stuff. And he's just down there flinging it all around. And Luke doesn't know yet this is a Jedi Master. He just thinks it's some creature out here in the swamp area that's in his stuff. And you got Yoda, he's flipping things, and he's just going through Luke's lunch and throwing his lunch and his stuff that was all prepared. And it just looks like this little thing, and stuff is just flying. Well, when I looked out into the congregation, that's what God showed me. And he showed me you upset because this little guy is going through your stuff and disorganizing what you thought you had organized. And God said, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing today. So with that in mind, let's keep, as we go through this message, let's keep that in mind. And as Ivy showed you last week, we do have a big clock up here. So I'm determined I'm going to not keep you too long, but I'm going to say everything that God has for me to say. Amen. Father God, I thank you right now for blessing this word. Truly, I have prepared for it, so I know you, Father God, have touched it. You led it. And Father, I ask that every word that you have for them will land. Anything that's of Otis and doesn't need to be there, let that not be remembered. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this message today is called Dismantling the Shackles of Fear. Dismantling the shackles of fear. We've got to dismantle it. You know, even in selecting a title, I listen to God. What do you want me to say? Now, I could have said, get rid of fear. But the truth of the matter is, fear will always be present. It's just how you deal with it, okay? So, let's talk about what is fear. I pulled it up and I looked at several different places. You know, you always think there's certain words we know and we hear and we always think we know it. It's funny, I go to different conferences and words that you would just assume you knew. And the minute the instructor or whoever's up front says, what is fear? It's like, you don't say anything. It's going to, people describe things differently. And sometimes until you go back and really break it down and really understand the words that you're using, you don't really get the benefit of the definition, okay? So here in Webster, fear, an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused, that's unpleasant, strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. An instance of this emotion, okay? A state marked by this emotion, okay? So check it out. Another way is to say anxious concern, all right? That's Webster. Unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. That anticipation of awareness of danger gives you those instances of strong emotion, which we call fear. All right? But also, there is a fear that is healthy. The fear of God refers to fear or a specific sense of respect and submission to a deity. Okay? I pulled all that right out of Webster. So today, I do want to talk to you about how we can dismantle the shackles of fear. See, fear is going to remain, and so it's not so much focusing, how do I dismantle fear? I want to dismantle the effects or the shackle that fear puts on us, okay? Because we can't go forward in what God wants us to do until we conquer our fear. Now, God told me, he said, Otis, he calls me that because that's my name, but I guess he could have said son too, but Otis, you would be shocked to find out who the real person is standing in front of you if we remove the effects of fear. And he got me thinking about that, is that the church at times, even us here in the church, faith, you know, believing in God and tongue talking and Holy Ghost filled and just loving God with all we got, still have not revealed who we truly are, because it's always filtered through, a lot of times, fear. And so he reminded me of a game show I used to watch. I don't even remember the name of the game show, but it was where you had to figure out who the three people were. There was three people, and they would tell who they were, and you had to figure out who the real person was. This guy is a scientist or a rocket engineer, and he, blah, blah, blah. They go through that, and the three people, and they say, who is it? And they would, you know, the one would finally stand up, and he said, oh, that's him. Well, God kind of showed me us the same way. There's things where you have not yet stood up and been Tony or Barb or Chuck because you have been fearful of whatever that thing is in front of you, fearful of the danger in front of you that has caused an effect. So here's what I want to focus on is this. We always have the opportunity either to have fear or faith. It's always going to be present. It's not like you're going to get rid of one or the other. However, your proximity to God will always determine how you tilt the balance towards either side. Your proximity to God will determine, are you one that walks in faith or one that walks in fear? There was a pastor friend of mine who used to talk about fear, and he would say, fear is an acronym. This is how he described it. He would say, fear is an acronym. It's false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. So I want to show you an instance in one scripture where we see both sides of this fear. One is a holy fear, a righteous fear. One is a fear that God does not want us to have because it's the emotion, it creates a strong emotion because you anticipate danger. Okay? So if you turn to Exodus 20, we're going to look in Exodus 20 and just look at 20 and 21. I'll give you a moment to get there. Please say amen when you're there. Amen. All right. I heard several amens. I'll go on and read it. Exodus 20, and I'm reading from the New King James. It says, and Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you. so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So it's funny, people who don't really study the Bible, or they want to disclaim the Bible, or find things to come against the Bible, they would take this scripture and say, wait a minute. Moses said, do not fear, but yet God wants his fear to be before you. Right? And in this instance, you're seeing where Moses says, do not fear. He's saying, do not anticipate danger, and do not allow that anticipation of danger to cause a strong response, strong emotional response in you. Do not let your anticipation of danger cause you to respond emotionally in fear. But rather, this is just God setting you up so that he can put a righteous fear in front of you, and so that you can prosper, basically, in what he has for you. Right there in that one, in those two verses, we see that, okay? So I'm trying to build for you the understanding, fear is not bad, okay? There's a good fear. I want my child to fear. I tell you one thing I try to make sure my kids fear, drugs and what they can do to you, okay? There's a lot of people overdosing. I mean, if you understand, overdose, people dying from overdoses has increased so much, it's ridiculous. I used to tell my kids all the time, don't run in the street. I mean, sometimes I would tease them and say, I'm going to put a pork chop around your neck and put you in the street, or have a dog chase you or whatever, you know. But anyway, there would be something silly you would say, but you don't really want that. You want there to be a certain level of fear. Don't touch that thing. It's hot. That still is a healthy fear, a respect of things. People who train you to work with guns and learn about hunting, all those different things, they are teaching a good fear, a respect side of fear. Amen? But understand, God, today, when I talk about dismantling the shackles of fear, this is the fear that holds us up as a church and calls us to never be revealed as the sons of God. Okay? Because listen, many of us are sidestepping our mission because there's some scary stuff going on in our world. There's some things going on in our world that's just causing us to want to shrink back. If you would, turn to 2 Timothy. And you know what? I feel like I need this up just a little bit because then I won't try to scream. I feel like I'm talking louder than I need to. Thank you. In 2 Timothy verse 1, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, let me know when you're there. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. This is Paul trying to speak to Timothy. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. Hey, I'm mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. I want to be with you. I know you're going through a tough spot, basically, is what he's telling him. I know you're going through some tough times. I can't wait to be with you. Can't wait to see you. I'm very mindful of your tears and your situation. And I know I'll have joy when I'm with you, is what he's saying, basically. In verse 5, when I call to remembrance, let's remember some of these words. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded is in you also. Now, I want to stop for a moment and focus on the language that he's using. Here we have Paul. He's writing to Timothy, strong man of God. But in this scripture here, he says some things that gives you an indication of what's going on. Verse 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you." Now, to have to call something into remembrance, it's because it's not presently being seen. It's not something clearly in your view. You know, it's like one of those situations where you can say to somebody, "I remember a time you wouldn't allow this." There was a time, I recall a time where you would have took somebody's head off if they told you God was. Usually when you use that type of language, it's because what's happened to you now? Because I remember a time. And so then he goes on after verse 5, "When I recall to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your family, in your grandma and your mama, and I am persuaded is in you too." I'm persuaded. I'm convinced it is in you too. Okay? Now look. In 6, "Therefore, since I am persuaded, since I call the faith that you had, and since I am persuaded it is in you, it was in your mama, it's in your grandma, therefore, I remind you," I have to remind you, "stir up the gift of the Holy," the gift of God. Almost gave away my answer. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." When you take that whole scripture in context, you'll understand there's something that's going on that's dealing with him where he has to tell him, look, it's not that bad. When you came in connection with God, when you were first touched by God, there was something inside of you that was strong, that was courageous, that was awesome. And I know the Spirit of God is with you. The power that comes with the Spirit of God is with you. I need you to stir it up. So understand, just like Ivy had to switch the battery for this mic, can't keep using the same mic if the battery inside is dying. You got to stop using that mic. Switch out the battery, go and get a new one. Now for us, we got to stir it up. Now I said before, we choose between faith and fear based on our proximity to God. So if I'm a strategist and I'm trying to mess with the church, I'm going to try to come and be a wedge between you and God, because if I can start getting greater separation between you and what God wants, I can now control you through fear. Because your anticipation of danger grows, minus God. Get in his presence. You don't care. Somebody tells you somebody's out to kill you. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody physically came in here with a gun, yes, we would all run and duck. And fortunately, I trust that several of you are carrying, and so I feel safe. No. No, but seriously. So understand, I'm just saying that the more you're in God, your thought of, oh no, I'm going to be taken out. Oh no, I can't do this thing. Oh no, I can't pull this off. I'm from Bootle. I'm from Meigs County. All those things that will mess with you. When your proximity is close to God, he's telling you what all you can do. And you have a faith that is raging. There's a stirring that takes place inside of you. And so there's no fear. But here, Paul's having to say, look, stir it up. For God has not given you this spirit of fear. Listen to him. Stop wearing that thing. I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell ladies, certain ladies, you are a princess in God's kingdom. You are a queen. Don't escort somebody who's a bum. My goodness. You are royalty. And pretty much Paul's telling him, look, Cat, I'm persuaded this same thing that was in your mama and your grandma, it's in you. I'm persuaded. I'm convinced. I recall the things that you were able to do. So please tell me, how are you escorting this fear when God wants to do so much in you? Why are you chilling out with fear? Would the real Paul or would the real Timothy stand up? Would the real Ivy stand up? Would the real Otis stand up? Because listen, that fear that is connected to you, it doesn't belong. It's contrary to the things of God. It is contrary. So check it out. As Paul's trying to encourage him, to remind him of what he's supposed to do, there's a couple things that he says here. In here it said that the gift of God, it referred to the gift of God that came through the laying on of hands. The gift of God that comes from the laying on of hands is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? When Jesus told the disciples that you will receive dunamis power, dynamite power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will receive power. Paul was trying to remind him, you have already received the gift of God, which was the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, there is power. I was looking up this word on when it talked about fear. And when it broke it down, it said timidity and cowardice. Timidity and cowardice. Those words do not flow. And understand, that's not meekness, that's timidity. Meekness is different. You can be strong and still be meek. Okay? You can have power and still be meek. But being timid or a coward, I remember my dad, he got in a small altercation with our neighbor. Because my neighbor, and I was telling my kids about this not too long ago, I told the kids, I said, there's three things, I'm trying to think, do I want to share all this? I said, there's three things that will cause you to fight. Somebody calls you a liar. And I always tell them, don't easily call someone a liar. Don't say someone's lying, because that's fighting words. No one wants to be associated as a or seen as a liar. Yellow, cowardice. And I told my daughter, I said, no one wants to be called a whore. You're getting in a fight, okay? And so it reminded me of my dad. I was telling them about this in a time a man called my dad yellow. My dad almost came unglued on this dude. Matter of fact, the cops had to come just because other neighbors saw what was happening. My dad did not get in trouble, but it was really the neighbor who was messing. But bottom line, I'm trying to say this, is there are things that will happen that will cause you to step up and fight when someone tries to associate a character to you that is opposing to who you really are. The Holy Spirit will never escort a timid, a cowardice type of character. Because with the Holy Spirit, there is power. He doesn't fear stuff. Amen? He doesn't fear stuff. So we cannot allow ourselves to walk around anticipating danger, okay, as if we need to be fearful of everything, because only thing I need to know is if God said do it. Now, here's a time that it's okay to anticipate danger and let it cause you to respond. When you haven't heard God tell you to go and do it. If God did not tell Peter, get out of the boat, walk on the water, Peter, stay your butt in the boat. You can drown. But God told him, come. All I need to know is who's telling me to come. If Jesus tells me to come, oh, he rules nature, natural law. He rules natural law. You tell me to come. Okay, I'm coming. Why are we talking about fear today? There's things we have to accomplish that we have not yet touched. And God's been telling you, come on, I want you to do it. I want you to get out of the boat. You can do it. Trust me. But we've been focused on what might happen. That's how the devil is. Everything he's trying to get us to do. He wants us to stop noticing the things that God wants us to do. He wants us to stop hearing the voice that says, do it. He wants us to look and say, how high are the waves? Who do I lose by gaining this relationship with this person? What happens if I choose to accept this doctrine? There's some people who are pastors' places, and if they accept a certain doctrine, a certain truth, God might reveal it to them, but they might lose their salary. They might have to leave a certain church because it got filled with the Holy Ghost. There's all kinds of areas the devil comes in, and if you start fearing for yourself and not do what God has for you to do, you will never accomplish what God has for you. I want you to look real quick in Daniel. In Daniel 5, I've got a lot of different scriptures I want to touch on. And by the time it's all done, hopefully I will have strung these together. And we'll understand what God's doing here. So look in Daniel. Chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in 17. This is a scripture I've always liked. Because Daniel is just one of those people who had his character was so strong and his integrity was intact. And I just appreciated the way he dealt with things. You know what? When you do the right thing, even when no one's looking or when you're not performing for someone, you just do the right thing consistently. Even if you don't know it, people see you. People see you, and God will always promote you. He will promote you when you do the right thing. So this is a situation where this happened. Now, I'm going to start reading in verse 17, but really what happened before this was there was some handwriting on the wall. There was some finger writing. You could go and read this. But there's some writing on the wall, and Nebuchadnezzar is scared. His son, which now, oh, yeah, there it is, Belshazzar. Huh? Belshazzar. There's no T in there, babe. Belshazzar. She's still helping me. Hey, but so the king here sees the handwriting, doesn't understand it. He has all his key people trying to help him. He doesn't have anybody who can interpret what's going on. And the mama remembers. There was a cat. I say cat a lot. There was a guy. He wasn't a cat. There was a guy who was able to, he was so full of God. He could tell you all kinds of stuff. And they remembered. All right? And so basically, they said, go get Daniel. And that's where we're picking up. This king needs to know what's going on. So in 17, then Daniel answered, because the king asked him to answer this and tell me what's going on. So Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself. So the king had promised to make him third in the nation, to put a royal robe on him of purple, put gold and silver. He was going to have all this stuff. He was going to hook him up. It's another situation like Saul was going to do for David. Saul was going to let David off of taxes and all this stuff. Well, this was a similar situation. But so he was going to set him up. He said, I'll give you all of this. And then this is Daniel's response. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. He wasn't concerned about that. Yet I will read the writing of the king to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with the grass of oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. I'm going to stop right there for a moment, and then I'm going to read 22. So understand, he's trying to tell him, look, your daddy had all this. Your daddy was blessed because God was working for him. Your daddy was able to accomplish some things, and he could say, do this, do that. He could decide who was going to live or die. He had all these abilities, but when he got puffed up in pride in himself, the same God that set him, it's the same God who can sit him down. There was one scripture where it talked about him running in the field and even eating dung. Like animals, that's nasty. Dung, eating waste. Okay? So now he's saying this to the Son, having seen the Father. Okay? So in verse 22. But you, his son, Belshazzar. Did I get it? See, listen, normally I come to words, I say, you know what it means. But I try to tackle some of them. No. Have not humbled your heart. Although you knew all this, you knew all what? What did he know? He knew that God set up his father. He knew that God blessed his father. He saw God strip his father because his father was full of pride. He saw his house fall, right? Having seen all of that, you saw all of this and you did not fear, respect God. That's what he's telling you. 23. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. All right? And then so, let's see. Do I want to keep going on? No. Okay, no, I want to stop right there. I read that to you just to say this. If we do not, having witnessed with our own eyes the hand of God, this can work in the favor of faith, and it can also work in the favor of a respectful fear of God. If we do not, having allow ourselves to see the things God has done and take that and wear it as something for our future, meaning we take that and let it be knowledge to help guide us into our future, if we do not do that, there is a consequence that comes with it. When God, you know, you can't say I was ignorant of it. God, I didn't know. He said, no, I'm showing you. You see what's happening. And I'm trying to set you up. And having set you up like this, you are a king, but you did not do different than your father. You too are allowing yourself to be puffed up and in pride. He did the same thing that daddy did. Now he doesn't have a chance. And if you read on through that scripture, which I'm not going to because of time's sake, you will know he died that very night. He was taken out that very night. So what am I saying? There's some things that have been aborted by us because we either have not embraced a healthy respect or a healthy fear of God, or because we allowed fear of dangerous situation
fear of risk to cause us to freeze up and not be who we truly are called to be. He's still waiting for us to stand up. He's still waiting for us to stand up. So I'm going to run through some things here and tell you areas. Now I'm getting down to us, where we're at in real life. These are, what does fear do to God's people? One, fear has a way of paralyzing people. Fear can paralyze you. And listen, the devil is smart. Sometimes your being paralyzed can look noble and, you know, like you're being modest and unassuming. Okay? So I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. You know how sometimes when somebody offers you something, you say, oh, no, you first. You first. Sometimes that's okay. That's good manners. That's good manners. You know, like when it's time to eat, I always like to wait until the back. I like to stay in the back. I like to wait. Well, plus you can tell I don't have a problem eating, right? But I think it's respectful to wait and let other people go first. And that's cool. It's not cool for me to do that if God has said, son, this is your time to step up. This is your challenge. He's not waiting for you to look for someone else. You don't get to sidestep and say, you go on ahead. That's my mission, but you have it. No, that looks respectful. That looks like you're being kind and respectful. But no, some of us are happy to let someone else step up and walk in our calling because our calling is hard, because it's difficult, because you don't know if you're going to be taken out or not. And the truth is, there's times that God doesn't want you being polite, because the truth is, we're fearful and not polite. And it's easier to sidestep the call. It's easier to sidestep that situation. And if you do that, though you may think you're safe, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be full of joy. You're going to always be walking through life with something missing. And when people say, God put that person in the earth, and did we truly see who they are? Did Randy actually show up? I want them to say Otis showed up. If I look and see what God says about me in the book, and if he writes my, you know, because God can write your biography, he can write your life story ahead of time. And if I look at what he wrote about me and look at what I actually did, I tell you, I really want it to match. I want it to match. I don't want someone to be able to say, you sidestepped what God had for you. Why? Because you were scared? Because you were fearful? Let's not let that happen. You know, David saw his brothers frozen. King David saw his brothers frozen because they were looking at Goliath. All the people were. David was close in proximity to God, in his heart and in his being, just being around him, making his area a habitation for God to come and talk with me. Oh, talk to me, God. And God would whisper things to him and say, hey, didn't we kill that bear? Didn't we take that lion by his beard? Didn't we do some awesome things? You know? And so as that happens, now you start hearing some things. You're running a victory list. You're looking at the things God has done. And I told you earlier, if you look at the things God has done and apply it to your forward, to your future, then when you come up against those things that look scary, those things that look dangerous, those things that should create a strong emotion, you won't have that strong response. Because you're looking at truth and saying, I am able to do all that God has for me to do. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in my basket. As you're running these type of things through your head and you're thinking, and you're going into a situation, you're going in a situation not thinking, I'm going to die. You're going in thinking, I'm accomplished what God has for me to accomplish. But David's brothers were not. They were fearful. But David showed up and did a mighty work. Amen. He was able to speak and say, this is happening today. I'm taking your head off. The birds are going to have a meal on you. He was not fearful. Fear has the ability to paralyze you. The moment someone tells you something, I wrote down here, I wanted to play a video, but I didn't have it. So I was trying to find this video, but there's a show with The Rock in it, Dwayne Johnson, and Central Intelligence. I don't know if any of you have seen that. A good movie. But listen, in that show, here you got Rock. He's all built. He's built like me. Hey, y'all didn't have to laugh. Come on. In my eyes, in my dreams. No, but here he is. In this movie, The Rock, he used to be bullied when he was in high school. But now he's in the Central Intelligence, and he's buff. He's like he is now. You know, he's all big, and he's tough. He can beat up people. He's just got skills. But the thing I wanted to focus on is that even though in that movie he was able to take, there were some other guys who bullied. There was about five other people in this one scene that was bullying his buddy. He took them all out. But he got in front of an old high school buddy who was puny compared to him. And that person started talking to him like he did back when they were in high school. And that big man froze. He froze. Not because he was looking and saying, look at my muscles. I could choke this guy out. I'm not really violent, folks. I'm just saying. What happened is his memory was tapped into. He forgot about his muscles. He forgot about everything else he learned. He was taken back to a time that had a strong emotional connection. And to that strong emotional connection, which was fear, he froze in front of that guy. And that guy just made him look stupid. He ended up leaving all embarrassed. There's things God has done for us over and over and over and over, and yet still, that defeat you had years ago, the enemy drags your history up in front of you and say, don't do that thing in the future, because you know I got you back there, didn't I? I'm going to get you here, and I'm going to get you going forward. And we, if we look at that, we will buy into it. Meanwhile, God's given us a mission, and we're scared. We're getting caught up. We're allowing fear to mess with us. Number two. Number one was fear has a way of paralyzing you. It will paralyze people. Fear will make you operate outside of the character of God. That's number two. Fear will make you operate outside of the character of God. So, now, let me throw this out there. In our society that we're in right now, our world, you know, things are tense out there, right? There's a lot of racial discord. You know, there's a lot of sexism going on. There's people upset at each other. There's people not knowing who they can trust. You've got folks there's some folks who say there shouldn't be any policing. There's folks who think there should be policing. You got policemen wanting to get home safe. You've got people wanting to just live their lives and not be bothered. You know, you've got a lot of different scenarios going on out there. But really, when you boil it all down, we all want ours to be protected. Right? Think about it. We all want to be protected. Give you an example. I used to be able, if I was lost, I could go to somebody's house. I don't care if I knew them or not. I would go to their house, knock on the door. Excuse me, sir. I don't know. Can you tell me where Mulligan is? That really happened. I didn't know where Mulligan was. I was looking. And this guy was yelling at me so loud. Ivy was in the car. Honey, get back in the car. This was years, years ago. See, now I don't do that. There's some roads I don't go down because if we happen to break down, my wife was like, hey, honey, I don't feel comfortable being out here. you know? And me, I'm still Mr. Faith Man. I'll go anywhere I please. I can make anybody like me. That's just really my take. I'm good with people. And so I have a lot of confidence. But the bottom line is there are still some people who do things that would tell me, Otis, don't reach out anymore. You can't stop and give that person a ride. Have you seen these situations where they set the scene and you want to give somebody a ride on the side of the road who's broke down? You want to stop and help them fix their tire, and next thing you're hitting the head? So what's the enemy does, he tells us, stop doing the good things that you know is helping your neighbor. God says reach out. So we don't stop all the time and help someone with a tire, you know? So you see somebody hungry and they're in your neighborhood and they want to stop and use the phone and maybe have a meal. We don't open the door for them anymore. Right? You don't open your house up. You don't know if somebody's just trying to get, I mean, we get all these things that come into our thinking. And it's now, I got to protect mine. I got to protect mine. And that's outside of you do have to protect yours, don't get me wrong. But we stop having an outlet to do godly things if we allow ourselves to be fearful. So I believe we need to be smart. We need to handle things wisely, but at the same time, listen to God. If you think you can just half time it and then hear God say, no, this one, it's okay, go on and stop and help them. That's okay. I'm with you on this one. There's sometimes I will not stop. I will tell you this. I need to hear God a little more now. Just nice Otis wanting to help everybody. That guy's not around as much. Don't get me wrong. I still will help. But I say, God, is there anything going on here? Give me a sign. Let me know. Is there a tilt in my spirit that says something's off about this? That's what I have to listen to. So it's not allowing fear to stop you, but it's more so listening to God and walking under his favor and do what he has for you to do. Amen? Fear has a way of making you act outside of God's character. Here's another way. Let's say you're in a group with people, and that group is laughing at whoever. It might be something you think, man, this is really wrong. But these are all your people. These are your friends. You might just be hanging out with them and they're like dogging somebody else and you know it's wrong. You got an opportunity to stand up and say, hey guys, this is wrong. I'm not having any part of it. No, what happens a lot of times is we don't do it. Those are good friends. I've invested in them over the years. Heck, we're on the cheerleading team together. We're on the football team together. Heck, he's the team captain. We work together. Maybe that will make things awkward. My boss, if I don't chime in, my boss is going to not ask me out to anything else. You know, if I don't. There's all kinds of areas like this where the enemy will try to come in and get us to act outside of who he is. So what I'm saying to us in this place is we've got to listen to God and say, God, tell me what you want me to do. And when he says, don't stand for that, when he says, speak out against this, call this wrong when it's wrong, somebody asks you, what do you think about this, Otis? And I don't let my words conform to the situation. If I really think it's wrong, I need to say, listen, I don't agree with that. If I do that, God is always going to get my back. I don't care if they fired you, he would still make my paycheck come in. Do you know God has that ability? Seriously, guys, do you know this? He has the ability to do this. I've seen God do amazing, incredible things. So some of us, we think we work for a paycheck. You work so you can meet people and so you can affect people in the marketplace. Yes, it's nice to have a paycheck too. But God's the one providing that check, right? So you should be able to listen to God, do what he has for you to do, and if God tells you, say something now. Say something now. And if he tells you not to, don't say a thing. Leave it alone. We've got to get to where we respond solely just on what God tells us and not fear all the movement, because there's a lot of movement. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You cannot fit me in a box. I've got a lot of family, you know, and you might say, hey, you're Democrat. You might say, hey, I see your skin color. You're Democrat. I don't know. I don't know what you think. But you might say, hey, you're a Republican. You don't know what I am. Because tell the truth, I don't try to get myself locked into one side or the other. You know? Think about it. Some people get me in conversations and they think I'm going to chime in and be right where they are. On this certain topic, maybe God told me something different. So I can't fit it in a box and say, all of these are correct because this is my column. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to do what God has for me to do. I've got good friends who think it's okay, and they think I'm going to chime in and talk about how it's okay to be sleeping together and shacking up before marriage, because it sounds smart to do that and get a good grasp on who this person is before you actually go on and put a ring on the finger. No. I will tell you what the Bible says. And you might not like me. You might not invite me to Thanksgiving dinner next time. I love you. It's okay. Amen? All right, so listen, I've got a couple more things here I want to hit. That was number one, was fear has a way of paralyzing people. Number two, fear will cause you to operate outside of the character of God. I'll throw out a couple more of these. Understand, we're supposed to be laying hands on the sick. Right? However, if that person's bleeding, you don't have gloves, all the thoughts that go through our minds sometimes about if we're going to do something because we're concerned about getting hurt. You know, we want to see the sinners saved. We want to see folks who are worldly saved. They're going to come in here. They might be dressed like a prostitute because they know no better. Can't they come to Bethel? They've got to be able to come in. So we can't close up everything and say, no, we're fearful. Now our kids are going to start dressing that way. No, we just need to teach our kids. So we need to keep things open and allow God to use us. Number three, backing down from fear causes a false sense of peace. False sense of peace. Now, let me explain that one to you. Just when I'll give you an example. God, sometimes you might be comfortable where you are. You might be in a place where things are good. But God says, listen, I want to ramp this up. I want to take you to a whole new level. And in that new level, there's challenges there. There's things that are hard. Now, the truth is, as you know God told you to do it, there becomes a pressure. It's a healthy pressure. It's a pressure that gets you a little bit shaking, to where you're shaking a little bit, because he's now pushing you out of your comfort zone. And it's like, oh, my comfort zone's over here, but God's got me over here. And so when he's telling you, I want you to do this. Like here, watch. Here's a good example. I'm going to pick one of you, and I want you to come up here, and I want you to do a message just for about 2 minutes. I want you to read off of my iPad. And I want you to do the message, all right? You're going to do it off of my iPad. Actually, I'll come to you. So all I'm going to do, I'm going to give you this mic, and I want you to preach these or teach these next two bullets I have here. Let's see. And then I'll have you do it. So, okay, now, I just did that as an example. But as I walked over here, what happened over here? Okay, see, woo, cool. I went away from you. Pressure was taken off, but maybe it was really a task he's given one of you guys over here. But as you saw me go to select someone away from you, pressure is gone, right? Well, it's the same way with right now, what God says, I have more for you, son. Don't be comfortable there. I want you to go and do this. Now somebody's going to come in and they're going to ask. And then if I know he told me to do it, and right when I'm about to do it, somebody else steps up and they say, okay, yes, you. For me, for a moment, it's going to feel like peace. It's going to be like, oh, yes. Woo, that was close. It's going to feel peaceful for a moment. It's not real peace. Because what happens is after it's done, he's going to say, son, you should have done that. You're not happy here. I'm not going to let you remain happy here because I got more for you. You should have stepped up and done that. You see what I mean? So God wants us to go forward into the difficult spots. Thinking that we're going to get through life without risk is not real. There's always risk. It's just that we put our faith in God. Amen? Again, fear. False evidence appearing real. You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. You're going to die. You're not going to see your grandkids. She's going to leave you. She's probably cheating on you. Your kids are doing drugs. I mean, think about it. All these different things. Pastor doesn't really care for you. He wishes you would leave. I mean, seriously. You name it. Pick it. The devil's picking it. He's smart. He's been watching you all your life, and he's going to pull on a thread. He's going to find the thread that he can pull on and start pulling on it. Slowly but surely, and get you to thinking it's over. It's not going to happen. Listen, you can't do that. You're not built that way. You are not able to do all those things. And God's saying, I am able to do it. You can do exceedingly abundantly above. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. But the enemy comes in and tries to tell you all this other stuff. Okay. All right, I better hurry up through these. Number four, fear causes a person to be reactive opposed to actually just acting. All right, now, remember when Elijah, he ran from Jezebel. He ran and hid. He had just done mighty things for God. All these false prophets got jacked up because of him. God has sent down fire through his word. But then Jezebel said some things to him. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do to you what I did to you. And he's running. Why? Because fear will cause you to react. If you react, you're not thinking. When we react, we don't think. There's a lot of people in jail because they reacted. Another story. Well, actually, this is another video I wanted to put up, but I'll just tell you this video I was watching and to deal with this whole thing of fear. They had this baby who was just like 1 or 2 months old, and they wanted this baby to learn how to swim early. So they put this baby in this big pool. And of course, I saw this on Facebook, so it was true. No, but but this baby, when they dropped this baby into the pool, the baby kind of went over like this, face down. But that baby kind of did this and then relaxed and turned over on its back. And that baby, after it was on its back, just floated. When you react, it's the same as flailing around, fearful that you're going to lose your life. And what happens, it causes you to sink. All that movement and unrest, reacting to your situation, will cause you to sink, opposed to if you stop for a moment, let things balance out, and you will flow, right? There's things we've been messing up, because we've been reactive. We're fearful that something's going to happen, and so now, next thing you know, you've harmed someone, and oh man, they were just reaching out to give you a hug. You don't know. There's been times someone's been working on our behalf and we didn't know because we were scheming so much and we thought someone was out to get us. Surely they're out to get me. I'm going to get them first. We act outside of the character of God, and it causes us to do things that are not healthy for us. Amen? I'm going to give you a scripture to look at and then I'm done. You can just write this down. Look at it. And I know we've heard this story Elisha's servant, not knowing, he was fearful. All the people had come against him, but really, there was a host of chariots around him. I know we've talked about that before. 2 Kings 6, verse 14 and 17. That deals with that story. You don't see things, but once you settle down and you don't be reactive, you pray and say, God, help me to see, and you'll find out there's more for you than there are against you. You'll find out that God's hand is for you and not against you, and you'll see the mighty things of God. But it doesn't always appear that way naturally. Amen? Also, if you could write down Isaiah 41, verse 10 through 13. And here it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right, righteous hand. When God says, fear not, it's because there's an opportunity for fear. Like I told you, there's always an opportunity to fear or an opportunity to walk in faith. And he says, fear not. Now listen, if God says that to you, clearly there's something present that could cause you to fear. There's something in your environment that looks not so great that could cause you to feel threatened, but fear not, because even when it looks nasty, even when you think you can't make it, even when things look crazy, God is working for you. He is there. He's the same one who called you. He's the one responsible for writing the check. Do you know that? Listen, if God told you to do it, you don't have to worry about funding it. He'll tell you what to do. But when you are moving under what God has for you to do, the funds will be there, guaranteed. Amen. All right, let's stand up. Now, understand, this is going to just keep building because we've talked a little bit earlier about going out and doing what you've got to do and how things can break, the places of rest that can break and change. God wants to do some things into our future, and the things he's going to show you, the new person is going to have to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to be real. I'm not going to let fear cause me to be different. I'm going to let God be the one to lead me in that. Amen? All right. Father God, I just thank you right now for speaking to us today. We will not operate out of fear, but we will operate out of faith. We will operate out of love. You are a good God, and you are for us. Everything you have for us to do, Father God, we are capable of doing. So we thank you, Father God. Speak to us. Show us what you want us to do. Who we really are will step up. Step up, Father God. We just thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Be blessed.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.